Welcome to Nerd Tween and a Movie Podcast, where this week we're going to talk about MegaCon and just a little bit of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Let's hit the intro. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back. So I did do like a MegaCon part one last week while I was actually on site at MegaCon, but I didn't get to talk about day two because I only got to spend 2 days. I'm going to tell you my entire trip. It was absolutely insane. Starting with initially, I was supposed to have like a full team with me. I was supposed to have at least three people. One was going to do the video. One was going to get some, like, while I was trying to get certain signatures so I can talk to people, they were going to get other books. And unfortunately, let's just say one event led to another, which led to me going by myself. So I had to take the train. Now, I took the train up, and, you know, we were a little bit late, so I had a chance Thursday to make it there right before they close and do a quick run around. And unfortunately, they were open till 9, and I got in at exactly 9. So I missed day one. So for me, day one was actually day two for a lot of people. And I'll get into that in a little bit. But day two was absolutely amazing. This was Friday. I paid for a premium pass, which I honestly don't know if I got my money's worth for that because of many factors, one of which being I was only able to be there 2 days. But I feel like for the advanced ticket price, there should have been a express line because one of the things that they said was, and I will correct this in the footnotes if I was wrong, so make sure you take a look at that. But I'm pretty sure I had a guarantee that I could get some certain signatures. It was like 24-hour signing period, but I wasn't able to take advantage of all of that. And it was, I mean, you got a lot of stuff. You got a poster, a limited edition Funko Pop thing. It was really cool. They had the artists in there signing it, and I didn't get it signed, which I'm actually happy about because on the way back it got damaged, so now it's an out of box in my break front in the living room. But when I got the premium pass, you know, you get a premium room, you know, where you can go during the con, where only people who bought premium could go. It was just a room off to the side. I mean, was it nice to be able to go in there and just, like, sit down and look through what I had just got and maybe even take a few pictures, load some things online? Yeah, it was good. Don't get me wrong. That was, like, that was almost worth the price of admission there. But, I mean, they didn't even have those little, like, tiny bottles of water. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't mind if they literally, it could have been room temperature, too. Like, those little ones that are, like, three gulps and you're good. Like, that would be something that I thought could have been in there. And that's just me. I'm sure there was no cost benefit there, but I still think that would have been fairly nice. And then, so, if you want to hear more about what happened on Friday, please go check out my last episode. It came out last week because I'm going to go ahead and skip over that right now because I already talked about it. And Saturday was the wow. Saturday was an experience. I have been very open about how I don't like crowds. I'll say undocumented issues with anxiety and things of that nature. And at one point on Saturday, I had to leave. Like I literally left for about 2 hours just to decompress enough to where I could like really make my next move. And granted, it did help that I after that first rush on Saturday, first thing I did was I made a beeline to try to snatch up and see if they had any extra of those good boys that sold out at the Comic Mint booth. And of course, I got one more, thankfully, but I will be giving that to a friend of mine. Part of the team that didn't make it because of all the crap that went down. So on Saturday, I made a beeline for them, and then I went right to get in line. I was not missing James Tynion. But he wasn't there right away. So what I was able to do was I was able to get signatures on a couple of books. So now, for instance, I have a We Live number one first print that is now double signed by both Miranda brothers. And apparently, and I don't know how the hell I missed this, but apparently at MegaCon, they announced that there was a possibility that Hulu has picked up the We Live series. And if that's the case, a first print double signed by the creator is going to be, is going to skyrocket in value. And then, you know, of course I brought my other, good boys that I had. I had an exclusive good boy number three. It was the Punisher homage cover. I had Garrett sign that. Garrett signed in pink. You know what I loved about Garrett's signatures is that he took a look at what the book was and then signed it based off of that. Like the good boy three, from the first volume that I have, has a lot of pinks and purples and blues. So he signed it in purple. Signed it in pink. But then I gave him the Miko Suyon, which I'm pretty sure I should have got a double signed. That was my bad. Infinity Gauntlet Good Boy Volume 2. I believe it's the Ashcan. Limited, I think, to, it's the Virgin variant. I think it's limited to like 1,000. Then he, so the ring behind the main picture is yellow, so he signed it in yellow. And then now I also have a the We Live new series. I have one of those triple signed. And then the big books that I got, I mean, I also got Something's Killing, I said Something's Killing the Children. Now that's now double signed, the first print. So the story behind that, I've talked about it on my podcast before. I was one of the first to invest in the Tiny Onion Club when James Tynion decided to kind of go his own way. And when he did so, he put this announcement out, and I was one of the first ones to do it. It was if you were signed up within the first 48 hours, you got a book from his collection in your first mail. So what I received, was a Something Is Killing the Children number one first print signed by James Tynion. Well, now that book is also signed, by the artist as well. So, I mean, the value on that is just like, if I got that graded, it's like a 3 grand book. Like, legit three, like, I invested, I think it was $250 to be one of the Onion Club premier, whatever the actual founder, there we go, founder of the Tiny Onion Club. So he sent me that book signed. Now I have it double signed. And, like, wow. I mean, just the imagine what that book is worth, especially since we know that Something Is Killing the Children is in the process of being optioned by Netflix. So, I mean, like, the investment, I took a gamble and invested in the Tiny Onion Club, and he is not making us regret it at all. I can't speak for everyone. I don't know what everyone else got, because I know some people got, like, an extra Tiny Onion exclusive that month versus me, who got one of the, like, a hot book, like Something's Killing Children number one first print. I didn't even have one of those on my PC, like, at all. I was real late to Something's Killing the Children, because when I first got back into collecting, it was around when that book and We Live and all of them was starting to come out. I was more in on buying now to sell later. So I wasn't getting stuff that I was really interested in. So when I heard Something Is Killing the Children, I was like, nah, there's no way that's ever going to get optioned. I mean, think of the name. Listen to the name. Something Is Killing the Children. They're not going to want to make a TV show or a movie when the name is talking about killing kids. And, like, that's not what it is. You know what I mean? It's so much. It's such a great title. Tinian really is amazing. And then the other books that I got were Department of Truth books. Now, Department of Truth is a very like conspiracy-ish type series. From what I'm hearing, it's getting optioned. And I had the luxury, since I follow Javon Jordan the way I do in Illuminati, he's got these great Department of Truth covers, and they're all limited to under like 500. I think one of them is even 300, and now they're all triple signed, like a Marilyn Monroe homage, a Mona Lisa homage, a Nirvana homage. Like, it's on. You know what I mean? So I had all those books on me, and I was like, yo, I gotta go. I gotta bring these back to the Airbnb. And so I did that, and I swapped out, and because I hadn't met Kate yet, I hadn't got a lot of things done at that point. And unfortunately, when I went back, I did not get a chance to even get to see Kate. And my good friend Noah from Noah's Amazing Reviews, if you're not following Noah, then I don't know what you're doing. His YouTube is amazing. He does some great interviews himself. We've even collaborated on a few breakdowns, like the What If. We did a whole breakdown on each other. We live streamed on both our channels at the same time. And he reached out to Kate. So was like, hey, I got a friend that's coming to MegaCon. He wants to meet you. And unfortunately, I didn't make it to him. I just didn't. I unfortunately went profit over content. Like, I should have definitely, instead of going to Tinian, I should have waited for Kate's. That should have been my first thing of the day. I shouldn't have even gone to Tinian. I shouldn't have even gone to the Reading Rainbow panel, which was the only panel I made it to. I mean, it was LeVar Burton panel. But I went because I love Reading Rainbow. But I'll get back to that in a second. But when I came back, it was already too late. I wanted to get Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes. I couldn't because the lines were just so long. So I went to see the man himself, Kevin Conroy. You might know him as the Batman. And if you all don't know, I do a very good Mark Hamill Joker impression. So when I walked up to him, I said, "Why, hello, Batman." And he smiled and without even hesitation, just snapped into Batman and goes, "You know I have to kill you now, right?" I honestly do not know how I kept it together enough to respond. And I was like, don't be like that, Bruce. We've become good friends. Remember the last scene of The Killing Joke? We were just laughing. He was like, wow, that's pretty good. He was like, to see that smirk of like, I've heard a lot of people do Joker voices, but this one's pretty good. Like, he even told me to go do it for another voice actor. And I honestly was so overwhelmed by the fact that Kevin Conroy said I had a very good Mark Hamill Joker voice. I didn't even think to say, hey, I even wished Mark Hamill a happy birthday in the voice and he didn't respond or anything. I couldn't think of anything. It just blew me away. I don't know how I was able to stay in character and answer him the way I did. And when we were, you know, he's signing, he's like, do you want me to dedicate it to someone or do you want to just get the signature? Because he's not stupid. These people are not stupid. That's why they charge so much for certain autographs, because they know you can literally just go boop and flip it on eBay and get that price. So it incentivizes people who are actually fans, I think. Because for me, like, I was like, hey, no, that is mine. Do me a favor, write to Kyle. Thank you very much. That is mine. And that will be with me till the end of my days. Even if Blu-rays go so out of style that, like, it's, like, not even cost effective to even have them, I swear to you, I will keep that forever. So, that, the experience of being so close to some of the people that I have respected so long. Like, Kevin Smith is, for lack of a better term, my idol. He is exactly the type of person that I think I could be. Maybe not to his grandeur or anything like that. I'm not sitting here being like oblivious to how hard it is to become a Kevin Smith, obviously. But, I mean, not for nothing, but we both do stand-up. He's obviously funnier than me. Maybe. We both do podcasts. We both are super nerds. We both write. His are actually, like published. And, like, he's got movies and everything. Like, of course, I'm not comparing myself to Kevin Smith. I'm just saying that I do a lot of the things that he does, just not as good, at least at this point. But that's still yet to be seen, because I haven't even really gone as far as even submitting things to most people. Like, I've written TV shows. I haven't submitted them to anyone to, like, hey, would you want to make this? I wrote a book for almost 10 years and that I'm now converting into a comic, which I have an announcement about later on in the show. It's never been handed to a publisher. No one's told me yes. No one's told me no. So, I'm speculating on my abilities at this point based on the feedback I've had so far. And I would love to have talked to him about that. Like, Kevin Smith is definitely, like, he's an actor. He does so much. And I would love to be in that mold, because I feel like I'm massively talented in many different areas. But enough about me. So when I went, I mean, I was only able to be there 2 days. And in 2 days, it is not enough time for one person to hit everything. Like, one of my goals was to make it to the Kevin Conroy panel and be the first person to be able to be up at the podium and go up there and ask him a question as the Joker in a room full of fans of the Batman. That was my goal. That was my main, the driving force, if you will, for me to make the commitment to doing all of what I did. And I missed it. Because I wasn't aware of the app that had the scheduling, and I was too busy trying to get things that were going to sell out. This is why I needed more than one person. This is why, because that was early on Friday that he did that panel. That's when I was running around trying to get all the exclusives that were going to sell out. So if I had another person, go get this book, and this book, as many as you can get. I have to go to this panel. Boom. I can do two things at once. And unfortunately, I didn't have a team. So again, I missed out on certain things. And that was one that it hurt that I missed out on. And that's really why I started talking about this specific thing. Because you got to have, like, I've said it before on last week's episode and before. You prepare however much you think you need to prepare for a con. Double it. I don't care how prepared you are, because you'll be thanking me after. Like, let's say you are literally the best, most prepared person on the planet and you got everything. Everything. Just straight up got it. If you spend a little extra time triple checking, I bet you'll add a few things. And I bet you that those things will come in handy. And also, you probably would have mapped out when things were. Like, you got all this extra time. You got all the books and stuff you need for the con. You got all the clothes, everything packed. Go on and find out when the panels are. Before you even get there, don't even risk going there and hoping someone will be able to direct you. You got to do research. And I've been to that convention center, did not have to walk as much, because the last convention I went was Collecticon, and it was just in one of the rooms. This was across multiple rooms. There were multiple floors. There were panels on the south side, panels on the north side. There were tattoo artists. There were cosplayers. I was in cosplay on Saturday as Chibi Casey Jones or Tiny Casey Jones. And I knocked it out the park, baby. I killed it. And that was without any freaking hockey sticks. You know what I'm saying? But I missed the red carpet 3 times. I just missed it. because I was too busy doing other things that I thought were more important. Because I, you know, con exclusives, they usually sell out fast. There weren't too many that sold out, to my knowledge, besides one of the good boys that I got. I couldn't find the Department of Truth, Tyler Kirkham one. It must have been sold out the second I got there, because it was, I couldn't find it. But instead of going to the panels and being able to even be that close to people, in my head, I'm like, I'll just get their signatures. It'll be fine. I missed everything. I missed almost every one of the voice actors besides Conroy. I missed every single one of the actors. I didn't get to see Brendan Fraser. I couldn't, or Undertaker. I didn't get to see any of these great people that I wanted to see, because I was too busy trying to make some money back, because I spent quite a bit to make MegaCon happen for me. So, and yeah, it was definitely a very humbling experience. I walked into MegaCon thinking, I'm going to take this bitch over. I am, excuse my language, I'm fucking Nerdtween. Nerdtween's here. Let's fucking do this. And unfortunately, I was outmatched. I was out of my element, even in that element. I was just not prepared. I thought I had it all under control, and obviously I didn't. And that's something that I now have to sit with and think about and try to figure out what I can do to, you know, do it better next year, to be able to accomplish everything that I need to in the short amount of time. And I wasn't able to do that this year. So I was able to meet some great people. Like I said, I finally got to meet Garrett Gunn, Javon Jordan. And it was crazy because, like, I walked in, first thing I did, I went right to the Source Point booth because that's where I knew Garrett was. I walk up. Garrett's just talking to someone. I don't see who it is. And then as I'm listening, all of a sudden I look over and it's Javon. And we literally were both just like nerding out about Garrett. And it just was great to meet in that way. And yeah, that was truly awesome. And I have to say that out of all the people that were there, I definitely had probably the best conversations with Garrett. We definitely had a blast. I know he was signing for so many people. He was talking so much, and he looked like he was having a great time. I know I was, but it was definitely not enough time. So that's something I'm going to have to, you know, adjust for next year. Now, again, it was a very productive trip. I wouldn't change it for the world, but I definitely, and people ask me, how was your trip? I was like, the beginning kind of sucked, the middle was amazing, and the end was hell. So this is what happened to me. Sunday, I'm supposed to come back, right? I knew I wasn't going to make it to the final day of the con because the train was supposed to leave at 10:47 in the morning. And the con opened at 10. I was like, there's no way I'm be able to do anything and then get there. The train station was like 20 minutes away from the con. So, you know, I was like, that's not happening. So I, you know, and I have to check out of my Airbnb at 10. So I check out early. I go right to the train station, 8:30, somewhere around there. Thinking, I'm here in plenty of time. Awesome. Then I find out the train's delayed to leave at 5:45. I was supposed to be back in West Palm before that. So I had a decision to make. Do I check my bags and hope that all of the expensive comics that I now have would be safe being checked and run back to the con for a few hours and maybe get a few more things done. Why not? And then I thought about it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't check my bags with probably close to $10,000 worth of comics in them. I just couldn't do it. I was almost hesitant to even have them near me. But luckily, on the way back, I actually had a marshal in my train car. So that was pretty cool. I was pretty happy about that. But so instead, I ended up staying at the train station. And you want to talk about being so close, yet so far from somewhere you wanted to be? A short Uber ride, 20-minute ride, would have got me back to the Comic-Con. And instead, I'm sitting on an uncomfortable train bench with no Wi-Fi, using my tripod to, instead of filming some content and enjoying a day at the con, I'm watching a movie I saved on it on my phone from Netflix. You know, I mean, it's definitely I chose the safer of the two, but definitely wish I would have gone with the riskier option and just said screw it and just gone back. But I just wasn't willing to risk the comics that I had for that. I just didn't think that it was the safe bet, and I at that point I decided to be safe and just stay at the train station. I met some really cool people, actually, though. I mean, it definitely was really interesting. There was somebody who came in. They went to the MegaCon as well just to see The Undertaker, and it ended up not going as well. and then someone who had just flown in and all the planes were canceled, so he came to the train and was like, this will be faster. Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was just I have to say that this, and I say this because I forgot to mention, while I was in line for James Tynion, I was talking to some people who were also in line. This dad and his son were there, and they had a total of 3 books. Now, I didn't know this, but the first 3 books for James Tynion and some other people were free because they were through a company that obviously paid them to do it. So I'm sitting there going, damn, I've got like 12 books, and I didn't know I could have just paid a little extra and got the other one signed too. I did not know that. I'm pissed because I didn't get any of the Joker books I wanted signed, but whatever. But they offered this gentleman and his son. I don't know their names. They literally just offered. They're like, hey, we've got 3 books between the two of us. Do you want us to get a couple signed? So they were actually the ones that got the Department of Truth book signed for me. And I owe them so much. And I tried to express my gratitude, and they were like, no, it's no big deal, and just kind of walked off. And I hope one day that I get big enough so you can hear this and just stumble upon it and be like, wow, that was us. You changed my perspective of people in that moment, for the most part, because not only did you not accept anything for it, you just willingly just said, here, can I do this for you? And it was it stuck with me, and I really want to confirm again, due to that interaction, how great this community can be. There are genuine people in this community that are just so willing to help a fellow nerd in need, and I love it for that. And I want to express my absolute gratitude and thank you to anyone who's helped me do that so far. And again, want to state, I said it many times on the podcast, if you need someone to talk to, want to talk about anything, I'm a super multi-fandom nerd. I can nerd out about sports. I can nerd about musicals. I can nerd out about Disney. You name it, I nerd out about it. Except for Doctor Who. I can't do it. And a lot of animes. And not because I don't like anime. I got to make the same reason why I don't like Doctor Who. I have to watch every episode of a series to enjoy it. So if I can't watch certain seasons, or the certain seasons, like it's like season one does not get me, I'm not gonna watch it. Like people with Doctor Who are like, oh man, the early Doctor Who's, they kind of suck. Why don't you watch just this season? This Doctor is amazing. I'm like, nope. I gotta watch all of them. And same thing with anime. I mean, some of these animes have 5, 6, 7,000 episodes. I can't start those right now. Maybe one day I will have the time to sit there and watch 1,000 episodes of a show, but at this point, I don't know if I can start a show that's that deep in already. And that's the reason why. Like, for instance, I love Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. That was just like one storyline. Boom. Beautiful. Mwah. Love it. Fantastic. But yeah, if you ever need anyone to talk to, please reach out to me. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Just reach out. I'm always available. But yeah, it was definitely, to sum up my MegaCon trip, it was truly eye-opening. I got to meet a lot of people that I hadn't met before, and I got to really see who, I don't want to say who my friends are, but who's got my back versus who just wants to try to exploit either me or the community. And it's totally okay. I will keep fighting for us little people. excuse me. And I don't mean that as a height joke, even though I am short and could make that joke. But even if I end up blowing up, becoming a big one of the big ones, I'm still going to fight for us because I'm trying to change cultures. And it's not easy, especially when there are some who have such backing that it's almost impossible to fight. But that's when you bring in new allies. And with that being said, I am going to leave you on that tantalizing little note, and we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi, but, it's not going to be anything too spoiler-filled, because I still believe that it's not late enough. It just came out on Friday. It will come out on Sunday, and that's just not long enough. So I will be doing that video at some point in the next couple days and release that as a bonus episode this week. Probably sometime maybe Tuesday might happen. But stay tuned. We got more coming soon. Welcome back. So, I am going to do something a little bit differently today. So, I'm going to talk directly to the social media monsters that are coming for the new actress from the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, the actress who plays young Leia. Now, even if you haven't watched the episode, I'm sure you've seen these posts all over Instagram, TikTok, and everything in between. And I am coming here right now, looking directly at you because I'm actually recording. We're not doing this this time. We're not doing this this time. Okay? Remember what happened around the same time The Phantom Menace came out? When y'all didn't like the actor who played young Anakin? We ain't doing this this time. I don't care what anyone has to say. It's over. Drop it. If you don't like it, stop watching the fucking show. You got a problem with that? Deuces, come at me, because we're not doing this. We're not coming at a young actress because we don't like something that happened. Or we say that she's awkward or whatever. She's a kid. That's what they are. We're not doing this, okay? And I mean that. Like, I don't want to hear it. I personally have watched both episodes of Obi-Wan. I'm not going to talk about anything that happened too much in it because it's still within that 48 hours, in my opinion, by the time this drops. And no, there's nothing wrong with her portrayal of young Leia. There's no reason to not have it. I'm sorry. It can build on the character. You're two episodes in of a six-episode limited series. What are you... They're starting the story. Deal with it. Because this is ridiculous. We're not going to attack this little actress because you didn't like it. Then don't watch it. Then don't watch it. You've heard me, and I ain't playing around. Come say something. Okay. So, I had to get that off my chest. And like I said, I'm not going to dive too far into the Obi-Wan Kenobi show because... like I said, it's just too early. I don't want to break my own rules. Because the last thing I am is a hypocrite. So, that being said, can we please, like, please not attack this little girl? I mean, I shouldn't have to ask. Like, I shouldn't have to have this conversation. But unfortunately, here we are. So, I just really hope that we can do better because honestly, we can and we will, or else there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to be in this fandom for very long. And on that note, thank you all for checking out my, my podcast. This is Nerd Tween in a Movie Podcast, and I am your host, Nerdpool Prime. Until next time, signing off.